Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There it is. That's the essence.
No, that's not the essence. What's the essence of me? There is no essence.
That encapsulates a guy who once called himself Frosty Peters.
Frosty Peters. Well, he had a step by Edward Dickman came in the picture. You know, I still do that.
You still do what? Check into hotels under an alias?
No, I just...
You used to be Dick Trickle, right?
Dick Trickle, yeah, until they came to my door one time and wanted to give me stuff when I was in Vegas because they thought I was Dick Trickle. The NASCAR happened to be there.
Was it a hairy treat?
No, it wasn't what you would have expected.
Anything goes today, Shaky.
It is.
You know, I've been here 4 months and there hasn't been one HR letter yet. I got to get working on that.
Oh, I can work on that for you in a hurry. I got nothing to lose.
It's good to see you guys. A lot of the old guys, when we used to do these things on Friday afternoons, a lot of the old regulars have made their way down to the Prudential Building as we broadcast from
and
the
like
Blue
I said,
Cross
still
Blue
unemployed. That's the beauty
studio.
Of it.
Yeah, a lot of them
still,
are working.
Still not. Holy crap.
I love that. I just want to hear you say it. Regliwa. Will you say it a few times today? Give me one right now. Get me started.
No, I'm not yet.
Oh, not that's not, right. You said yesterday you're not a jukebox.
That's right. I can't do that. I save it for when the time is right. I save it for when the time is right.
Okay.
You're the one today. You know, we happened to meet downstairs for a little tryst, and he's the one who's all wound up today, not me. I mean, you're all wound up. It's got nothing to do with me being here. He's just wound
up. No, it has a lot to do with you being here.
No.
I've been looking forward to this.
I plead innocent to all that stuff.
No, I have been. I've had this week circled on my calendar for quite some time, and it's not just because I work with the franchise every day, Danny Parkins. It's because you are coming back.
Yes.
And I'm having a barbecue with my cousin, Richie Hez, from Elk Grove Village this weekend. He and his Carol are coming over, so we only see them 3-4 times a year. He's a dear friend. And I've just been looking forward to that and seeing some of these mugs today. What a handsome group of lads.
We got them. Actually, they look better than they once did, don't they? Or is it just I don't see as well? I'm not sure, but they look okay. Look that bad for themselves.
There have been a few things that have slipped through the cracks. That always happens, even when you get 5 hours on a day. Some things you want to talk about that you forget. And there's a few of them I want to get to today that escaped us Monday and again yesterday. And one of them, I don't want to let the week go by without saying happy birthday to Barry Sanders. It's important to me to do that. He turned 50 on Monday. And I forgot about it by the time the show's conclusion. And I like having those kinds of little tidbits throughout the course of a show. It sparks some conversation sometimes. You got so lost in me praising Duncan Keith, and rightfully so.
Oh, good God.
Because it was his birthday Monday. I got to him.
There'd been a head injury besides the eye.
No,
got an eye and a head.
What didn't you understand about Duncan Keith?
I don't think anybody who really likes hockey would think he's the best Blackhawk of all time.
I think he's in the conversation.
I didn't say the conversation. I said at the top of the list.
Well, he's my favorite of all time. You know why?
That's
he won
okay.
three
he
GD
can be
cups.
Your favorite.
Yeah, he is my favorite.
And that is why?
No.
No.
Oh, that's why. Because he turned defense into offense from 200 feet away. Chris Chelios never did that. Doug Wilson was a good
puck mover.
Here they are talking hockey again. Seth Mason's going to call us in for old time's sake. Hockey's like reggae.
Seth's too busy counting money. He's got time to call you in about hockey.
Yeah, he is.
I remember those days.
What was the sale of the score in XRT in 95?
I think it was 78 million.
77 million. 77 million. That's not a bad return on a $600,000 investment in a daytime-only radio
That's
station.
Pretty
right?
good, isn't it?
That was a real good return.
I think, we talked about this yesterday, that the fact is that Dan Lee put a lot into it because there's nobody who starts a station and sends idiots like us everywhere. I'm not just talking about promotion. I'm talking about Super Bowls and the NBA Finals and all the places he did. Believe me, people don't do that. And so they certainly don't do it now. But, I mean, he was willing to spend even more money, keep the money flowing to make sure we got a reputation. We got a reputation. We got that during the course of the thing. But, I mean, it really is remarkable what he did and how he handled it. So, I mean, when he got it, I went and congratulated him. I mean, a lot of people felt betrayed. I didn't feel betrayed when somebody gets $78 million. Why should you feel betrayed?
I feel damn happy for you. I don't remember. I do remember some people on the XRT side being upset because they had so many years of service and the score guys got the same check they did.
Right.
They didn't have to give us anything.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. He's also the first guy in my life. of any job I've ever had, and some of them not very noteworthy, and some I didn't have very long, but the first guy to give me a Christmas bonus. And we did absolutely nothing to earn anything. That first Christmas, I don't think our numbers, there's probably six people listening, and five of them are probably still here now. So I look at it, and I say, holy crap, this guy gave me a Christmas bonus.
Right.
I'd never seen a Christmas. Had you ever anything you'd done?
No.
Never.
No.
I got newspapers give you nothing.
Times, right.
Nothing. What? They gave me nothing. Jack in the Box, upon firing me, they didn't give me a taco.
Some special sauce.
I got some secret sauce.
I love Jack in the Box. You got me started on Jack in the Box because I was too young to really appreciate its glory before it left the Midwest.
I'd love to make a taco for you.
That's the first thing I do when I get to Arizona. Forget the hotel. Forget anything else. Right to a Jack in the Box for the ultimate cheeseburger.
Yep.
You guys like cheeseburgers?
Yeah, I took a Woody, look at him. I took a cab, and I would get to the Phoenix airport early so I could grab a cab and go back to the Jack in the Box by the airport before I left, just for one more taste.
There is one right by the airport.
Yeah.
24th and Buckeye, I think.
It's like a $10 cab ride or whatever.
Buckeye.
Yeah.
Buck of the Wasatch Mountains.
Yeah.
He has not made an appearance this week. Maybe he will at some point.
He might. I would. Anyway, I would have loved to make you a taco. I made some very special tacos for people that I didn't like. And there were many of them. Not my business. I don't think that was my business model. But it did provide me with a sort of a primer on life of what not to do. Like when people come in late at night and you're supposed to be open till midnight, you can't shut off the lights and say you're closed. That's what I used to do. Yeah. They'd come through the drive-in. Because remember, they were ahead of their time with the drive-thru. At the drive-thru.
Yes.
And come back to the drive-in and they'd say, well, I thought you were closed. No, I'm sorry, sir. We're closed now.
I'm not working
that hard at quarter to 12. You remind there's seven cars out there. You crazy? I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. Get out of here.
Will Ferrell also celebrated a birthday today, and we forgot to acknowledge it. Happy birthday to Will Ferrell.
I think both of us like to forget him, wouldn't we? Or
I'm not a huge Will Ferrell fan, but if you got kids who are millennials and you like hanging out watching movies with your kids, which I do, you better like something Will Ferrell does. My favorite Will Ferrell movie would be Step Brothers. Favorite Will Ferrell role, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
You don't have either.
No,
Ron
Burgundy's okay. I didn't care for Step Brothers.
Did you watch it? Because you're the kind of guy who has an opinion on a movie he hasn't seen.
No, I've seen it. I didn't. It didn't do much for me.
Tim Robbins is in it. That movie sucks. Why? How can you say it sucks just because Tim Robbins is in it? Because I don't like him. Okay, the movie sucks. That was your stance.
My opinions are where they're at. You know what I'm saying? If I don't like it, I'm not going to bother with you. But I did see a lot of them, and I mean, at some point, the career became sort of pointless, sort of like Adam Sandler. At some point in there, of all the bad movies, you just go, what do I ever want to do that for again? I mean, that's sort of where I got Will Ferrell. What do I want to do that for again?
Other than Happy Gilmore, I'm not an Adam Sandler guy either.
Made a ton of money with those stupid things. Well, I mean, some of them weren't awful, but as you go on and Yanni, how much can you lean on that crap?
Well,
continue to do it. So, no, I at some point, that's it.
You know who's making the most money right now out of all of them? Anybody acting? Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The Rock, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
That tells you everything you need to know about who goes to the movies, right?
Well, yeah, we had him on in Houston because he was first doing and he was great. I mean, I think if you can tell something by the first time, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Your first impression sometimes is strong but not necessarily correct. But he seemed to get it. You know, maybe it's the wrestling thing where you sort of have to play the role and you sort of know what you're doing before you go into it. But he gets it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He gets it from the beginning. He's not sold on himself. He's not running around saying, hey, I mean, flex this. I mean, you know, his arms are bigger than these computers. He's like a monster dude. And he was just starting. Mm-hmm. He was just starting then. So, I mean, I think there's certain guys, and I do like some of his movies. I have enjoyed them.
Did you see San Andreas?
I did not. Bad?
It's a comic book.
Is it a hole in the wall? What is it?
It is, but it has Alexandra Daddario in it, so how can it be bad?
I
felt horrible watching it because even though she's 21 or 22 when she makes the movie, she's playing the role of a girl in high school, and I had impure thoughts. I'm going to be totally truthful with you. My God, that is a strikingly beautiful woman. You know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about, and some things have never changed with you. So that remains pretty much standard.
I'm still attracted to pretty women. That remains the same.
Well, with The Rock, it's at some point you there's some you said you could have culled through and you say, okay, this one sounds like one I want to go see. I mean, you don't need to see them all. And he's done pretty good business for himself, though, by the way. Done a little book on this. But he, you know, there's some, that like San Andreas, that didn't interest me from the jump street.
Oh, he was saving people from catastrophe by air, by boat. I mean, he was just, he's jumping from collapsing building to collapsing building to save his wife, or his ex-wife, I think it was, but... Alexandra Daddario was in water. She was all wet. Her shirt was wet. I don't know if she was an underwater specialist like that little redhead Slapshot Ed met many years ago down in FLA.
Actually, I met a woman.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. So he can post pictures of her on Facebook while he's enjoying sushi. Great. Slapshot Ed's on a date again. Spicy tuna roll ticket.
Well, anyway, so that, yeah, I mean, I call to him. When I leave in the, you know, you get the hell out of here in January when it's cold. We see a movie a week. So it could be bad, could be good. I mean, when you're going to do something once a week, go to the theater and watch a movie. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. I mean, I don't necessarily go by reviews because there's a couple of movies I really enjoyed that had awful reviews. Mm-hmm. So I sort of just
don't
do
pay
it by
attention
feel.
To that. Why pay attention to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a matinee anyway. What do I care? $7. I don't care. The movie sucks. So what? It's okay. I
you're hitting that matinee so you can hit the Golden Corral. Be the first in line for the all you can eat. Right?
No, that's too late. You go to 4:00 in Florida. Are you kidding me? 3:45. Pick you up.
A couple of other things I want to give some closure to. Yes, from yesterday's show, we'll get to it in a few minutes. We were talking a little bit about the history of the radio station yesterday, and since John Feinstein has designated this as the dullest day in sports, why not recap some more of history, right? Even though it's for cowards and losers, coach.
It is for cowards and losers, yeah.
But some things that were left open-ended. I want to just clean that up just a little bit and maybe be a little bit more clear about some things that I was talking about, and there were a few things we forgot. And one of those things, I believe, is our contributors to the show for the 8 years almost that we did it, and also one producer we're going to bring up in just a few minutes, and that's Shaky.
It's a penis.
Shaky is a penis. Everybody, Shaky is a penis. Shaky.
He knows it. He's not denying.
It's McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Stick around.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Nah, don't crap me. Fall of 1992. I was fist pumping, driving down the Kennedy. We got a segment.
Yesterday, it wasn't stunning to me because that's how he always treated me, so I didn't even catch it right away. You know, I mean, I had him more than half tuned out, if that's possible. I really wasn't listening to anything he said, so I didn't catch it. You caught it. That's what people want to say. You caught it more than I did. To me, it was just another day at the office. That's dope. I mean, that's just, okay.
Gang, we suck, gang. Chewing his gum. We suck, gang.
This is John Suntress, Shaky Suntress, who used to produce our show.
Hi, and, everybody. Boy.
Part of the ill-fated morning show with the late Norm Van Leer and the late Doug Buffone.
I tell
as
you
well.
What. Norm, he's coming back every Sunday into Monday on the red eye from L.A., so a lot of times he'd miss the game. And, you know, it's a Bears Monday. So literally, that's all we're talking about for 4 hours. It's like, so what happened with the game yesterday, baby? And we're like, Norm, you realize we're going to be talking about it for the next 4 hours. Don't worry, baby. I'm going to fake it. And we're like, oh, Chooch, don't worry about it. Thank Chooch. It's all going to be fine. Everything's going
to
be fine.
That's right. Doug used to call you Chooch.
I was whacked out on Xanax every day. I'm telling you. I was like Janine Garofalo on Saturday Night Live. I'm like, get me the hell out of here. Good Lord. Who's driving? Nobody's driving. That's why it's a fun show.
See, yes, there's Ron Gleason in a nutshell. There's Gilligan.
When the inmates ran the asylum, the golden age of the score. It's the total truth.
I know. I don't dispute that.
Did you guys talk about the, first of all, George would do his news updates in this tiny little booth that literally was maybe the size of a phone booth and a half. And in between reports, I would cut up the openings and stuff and take highlights. Well, we'd be yelling back and forth, and then the Monsters would be late to the update, so that would cut into my production time.
Monsters were late?
Exactly. What are the odds? Exactly. And I'm like, you know, so everyone's screaming, and at one point it's me, George, and Jiggets. And Harvey Wells, our station manager, is like, hey, you want to keep it down? People are trying to work here. And Jiggets went nuts. He's like, well, we're all stuck in here like it's one phone booth and you got five guys. He's like, we're rats in a cage, Harvey. We're rats in a cage. So for like the next 5 hours, we're all, every time we see Harvey, we're rats in a cage, Harvey. That's awesome.
Harvey was great at getting that refrigerator cleaned out by 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, though. Man, I never saw an executive with more skills than that. When he put get this stuff out of here by 3 o'clock on Friday, he meant it. He'd toss it.
Yeah. Well, as I said yesterday too, he's the only one that would read Murph's notes.
Hey, Listen, I got like two legal pads full of notes. I just wanted to, you know, get this. First of all, nobody's listening to me. As far as the staff goes, I love Murph. I know. I read your chapter. Good Lord. Wow, man. You were saving it up, weren't you?
Well, that book. He teed him up yesterday for a good 15 minutes well.
I know. I got to listen to the highlights, man. I missed Judd yesterday. I'm so bummed. I missed Judd. We had fun. I think I did your guys' show for like 2 years. And then afterwards, I shifted to production. But it was so much fun. We'd laugh every day. Truly. And honestly, like, I think one day Dan got mad. He's like, don't excuse me.
I should get that T-shirt. Don't excuse me.
One time.
You did have an excuse for something, though.
One day, Dan got Ron mad, and he wanted him out of there, and he was going to take over co-hosting with Terry. And he points at Dan, and he goes like, he's like, you want to take over? And he goes, yeah. He goes, fine. Hope you read the papers. And he throws up his and we feel bad for Dan, but we can't help it. We're all laughing, man. We were crying.
Well, the Goose was a chotch, wasn't he?
I honestly like
Ron a lot on a personal level. I think he's a wonderful guy, but he was in over his head.
Well, again, the inmates ran the asylum.
That's right. He didn't have a very strong will.
You know, I started working at BBM. I've been working there for about 15 months now doing overnight traffic. And Ron,
because it's so glamorous.
It's fun. Oh, you know, it's great. BBM really is like the Score elephant graveyard, because I'm there, George is there, Kerner is there.
Save me a desk.
Bartosz is there. It's so funny. And we are. It's like, oh, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Chief Lousy Shirt. George shows up every day, kind of, you know, maintaining the record of having the most interesting prints on Oxford shirts you've ever seen. That's why he came in with this weird Native American print that looked like it was probably like 12 years old from a Sears catalog. And I started calling him Chief Lousy Shirt after
that. I don't think you can do that anymore, can you?
Humpty Grumpty.
I said Native American.
Humpty Grumpty. It occurred to me yesterday as I was thinking about, with you coming on today, that I once dubbed you Humpty Grumpty.
That's true.
Yeah.
Idiot.
You were in a bad mood a lot of the time.
You know, my neutral face is a scowl.
You do have bitch face.
I do have bitch face.
Resting bitch face.
It's true. But yeah, Dan would be like, you know, I talk about some rerun I saw, Get Smart the other night. Oh my God. Dick Odia. And he's like, you know, Shaky, you're a vidiot. You know that? And I'm like, all right, I'm cool with that. God, by the way, The Rock, a lot of charisma, man. You got to admit it. He's a likable guy.
He plays the game well. I don't get the impression his waters run real deep, but he plays the part
well.
Honestly, a really good dramatic movie he made called Snitch. With Barry Pepper.
Good. Yep, I saw
and,
it. Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, Sherry likes Barry Pepper.
He goes undercover to nab a drug dealer. And it's a really good, I swear to God,
not even rockish.
No, that's what I mean. It was legitimately not The Rock doing a dramatic role.
Because you kept waiting for him to pick up the semi and throw it. but he doesn't.
Never raise the eyebrow. I also liked The Poor Man's In-Laws that he did with Kevin Hart. Central Intelligence, I want to say?
Central Intelligence, right? Yeah.
And that was kind of fun. And it was clearly like an in-laws kind of, you know, shell, serpentine shell.
Kevin Hart's isn't he? He hasn't made a movie in a month or two, right?
Yeah, well, didn't he have? Well, I know he had like adultery issues, and maybe that kind of submarined, you know, the career for
he'll
like 5 seconds. Yeah, oh, he'll be back.
He's
funny. He's good. I like him. That's a good movie.
This visit with Shaky Suntress is brought to you by Orkin. Every home is unique.
Appropriate. That
That's
Orkin
why
is,
Orkin
has
relies.
Control. We used to go through this every day with this guy.
That's why Orkin relies on the latest science to get rid of pests, because pests hate science. Visit Orkin.com today. Orkin, pest control down to a science. I met for the second, I guess you only meet someone once technically, but for the second time in my life, just a few years ago, I spent about 30 minutes with Mike Tyson.
Yes.
And
kindred spirits.
And I think that's why we got along so well, on and off the air. He's talking about his time in the joint in Indiana, and I told him I live in Northwest Indiana. Is that anywhere near Hammond? And I'm like, yeah, I was born in Hammond. I grew up in a neighboring town, Highland. Those MFers from Hammond are crazy. Do me a favor, say that on the backside, but lose the F-bomb. And he did, but I know this sounds bad, but he's a wonderful guy. He's fun to be around. I was shocked how much I enjoyed his company.
Life hit him hard, man. I mean, you know, and not to get sad, but truly, obviously losing a kid obviously probably messed him up. And I think with age comes perspective, and I think he is grateful given where his career went and went from being one of the most loved guys coming up to one of the most hated guys even before the ear biting with Holyfield. And, you know, now I think
wanted
again.
Wanted to eat him. Wanted to eat his children. You do it better than I do. Yes, give me some
true.
Mic.
Listen, my one-man play has really taken off, and I'm considering doing other one-man plays. I'm going to do an evening with Mark Twain. I think that's really going to be successful. My days on the Mississippi River as a steamboat captain. Who doesn't want to hear me talk? The day that Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer, and I were whitewashing a fence. So, you know, a musical, Don King and I think will be a very good one. I'm looking forward to that.
Not Mike, you still got your pet lion.
No, the zoning people in Vegas made me get rid of the lion. It was sad because, you know, I'd take him over to Siegfried and Roy's and we'd frolic. And it was very born free. So it's a shame. I miss Mufasa.
I swear, you would think it was the real people.
I mean, for most of his life, he never spoke a word that meant anything. And then at the end, he started actually become more of a person after Buffet Douglas got him. Because, I mean, he, you know, oh, my God. I love to cover his fights.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, man. And me too.
That's why you are the boxing juice.
That's exactly right. To cover his fights. Oh, yeah. You know, I was at the Tyson-Bruno rematch at the MGM Grand, and that was great. And I was at the press conference for the rematch with Razor Ruddock. And I asked him, I'm like, you know, hey, everybody really wants to see you fight Buster Douglas again. He's like, Buster Douglas is a dog. He doesn't deserve to fight me again. And the guy from Showtime, the CEO, is like, well, you know, Mike, we ran a survey. And actually, people really do want to see you rematch Buster. And Don King, well, you know, if he's going to come, he better be ready to take a lot less money. You know. So Don, it is such a weird, different boxing world today because Don King, well, you know, they're all in their 80s now. I mean, Bob Arum is still a force. And God, he's been showing great fights on ESPN. But it's weird.
Hey,
it's just
Shanky,
like.
Yeah. No one cares about boxing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You're right.
It's true. MMA.
Oh, no, yeah, you're absolutely right.
This generation is right.
No, you're right.
Boxing.
And it's a shame because, honestly, the competition has really gotten great. They finally realize don't hold for 12 rounds. Maybe actually fight each other. And you got that facility.
Yeah, throw some
punches. And what's that?
Throw some punches.
Yes, for God's sake. And listen, by the way, Deontay Wilder, you talk a good game for fighting nothing but somnambulists and mummies. Because I've yet to see you actually. You fought one Cuban that used to back up Desi Arnaz back in the I Love Lucy days that actually knew how to fight. And hey, slap you silly. You didn't know where the hell you were. And yet you're going to beat me? My reputation can take you right now.
Our conversation with Not Mike Tyson brought to you by Aaron Hills Golf Course in Southeast Wisconsin. Championship golf on a landscape shaped by glaciers. For a different experience, make Erin Hills your next golf destination. Play, stay, eat, and meet at the site of the 2017 U.S. Open Business or Pleasure, erinhills.com, erinhills.com. Shanky, it's great to see you. Thanks for stopping
always
by.
A pleasure.
Give it up for
our
guys, Santres.
I miss you both.
Love you.
Love you.
Yep.
Dan
Love
Patrick
you.
Joins us in an hour from Hoiberg at 4 o'clock. And Woo! Dave Wonstead here at 5. It's McNeil and Boris on Sports Radio 670 The Score.